Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Third Culture Kid Virtual Online Forum, where our conversations of TCKs and faith come together. I'm Jonathan, and I'm an MK from both America and Nigeria. TCK VOF is a place for people to share their own stories and to learn from others. It's a place people can safely explore the effects, benefits, and purpose of their cross-cultural upbringing. We also want to challenge TCK/cross-cultural kids to think deeper about how the cross-cultural component of their lives is tied to their faith. This podcast is brought to you by Crew, a caring community passionate about connecting people to Jesus Christ. So we have talked a lot in this series on work and career about how the idea of taking over the family business, quote unquote, is not a concrete reality for many TCKs and CCKs. There is one major exception, however, and that is missionary work. Today's panel are people who have grown up as TCKs and have now decided to serve God as missionaries in their own right. Ladies, welcome. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you are from / grew up, whichever you feel most comfortable with, where you are currently serving, and with who.
Hi, my name is Megan, and I grew up in Portugal. I returned to the United States, landed in Sioux Falls, South Dakota at the age of 12. Currently, I am working in Orlando with a Jesus film. I'm a language production manager, and that's a little bit about me.
Yes, my name is Tammy, and I grew up in Mexico. My parents were Bible translators with Wycliffe, and they have both passed away, and I continue their work from my home in Tennessee. And my favorite Disney movie is Ratatouille.
Hi, my name is Erica, and I was born in Wisconsin, but I spent all of my childhood and all of growing up from age 5 to 18 in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, with the mission organization South America Mission. So I currently serve in Mexico. I serve at the ministry called Rancho El Camino. I am the horse ministries coordinator there, and the organization is the Evangelical Alliance Mission. And as long as we're doing favorite Disney movies, my favorite Disney movie is The Lion King.
Do you want to add your favorite Disney movie, Megan?
Oh, sure. I'd probably say Inside Out.
All right. And you are currently in the U.S., Megan, but where have you served internationally on your own?
So I've served in Costa Rica. And right now, I serve in Latin America. I'm just based out of Orlando.
Now, go ahead and walk us through the path that led you to become an overseas missionary, from like being in the U.S. for college or leaving your parents' home, and then the pathway that led you to going overseas in your own right, away from your parents.
Yeah, isn't that weird how in the U.S. we're kind of kicked out at 18, but the rest of the world, you just live with your parents. Anyways, but yes, at 18, I did kind of want to spread my wings and figure out a little bit more of who I was apart from living kind of in the shadow of my parents. And so I started out in the legal world in immigration law. I was a paralegal, and that led me to Costa Rica, where I studied, got my master's, and had an internship with Inter-American Court of Human Rights. And I guess I was kind of on my own journey of changing the world through social justice. But I had this moment when I'm like, wow, without Jesus, the critical component, you really can't change the world. For me, missions was really where all my passions came together, my love of culture, language, Jesus. I had to ask myself, why is it again that I'm not doing missions? And there were really a lot of fears behind that. And so one of my friends actually challenged me, like, okay, but if God is who he says he is, and he can provide for you, and you can give him those fears, then why don't you give it a shot? So I did. And now I've been in missions for the last 11 years.
Yes, this is Tammy again. My parents were both working actively in full-time missions, and I was primarily responsible for corresponding with their supporters from the U.S. And then they both suddenly passed away fairly quickly. My mom died after an 8-year battle with brain cancer, and then my dad died a few years later. And so it was really a natural transition because I had stayed plugged in. My transition into full-time ministry was the void that they left, that someone had to keep overseeing and keep the ministry moving. The need was still there, so I plugged in. It's transformed our family. It really has been a central part of our family. I'm married and have kids in Tennessee.
So when I graduated from high school, I attended Taylor University for 4 years. I have a degree in exercise science. I didn't pick that with the idea of going into missions. I mostly picked it because I am an outdoorsy, active person. I thought that, you know, exercise science would be kind of fun. And I wanted to help people, but I really didn't have missions on my radar. But I got to the end of college. I had a couple summers of Christian summer camp under my belt. I realized that I really enjoyed ministry and I really enjoyed Christian camp ministry, and also that I really didn't want to do anything in the field of exercise science. So I was kind of in a bind there. Some old missionary friends of my parents told me about this ministry in Mexico that they thought that I would really like. So I was like, okay, I can go for 6 weeks and be a summer intern. Like, that's fine. But Lord, I really don't want to be a missionary. Like, I'm going to come back and do camp ministry. Awesome. But I went for those 6 weeks and then I came back. I did my year and a half as an intern at a Christian summer camp in Michigan. And then that ended. I felt God speaking to my heart that maybe He was calling me to go back there for a longer period. I really fought that. I said no. Just God continued to push me in that direction and to speak to my heart and to, yeah, and to really just ask me to take the leap of faith. I think I had a lot of fears. I mean, a lot like what Megan said, I had just a lot of fears going into it from my life as a missionary kid. I mean, I had no desire to raise support. I had no desire to live on support. I think I was mostly really afraid of going back into a life of transition, which was always really hard for me as a missionary kid, all the goodbyes. So I really didn't want that, but God just kept affirming that that was where He wanted me to be. And so finally I said yes, and I went. And He really changed my heart, and I'm happy to be there now, but it was definitely not an easy road to get to where I'm at, for sure.
Thank you guys for sharing. What are some of the ways that you've seen your cross-cultural upbringing impact your ministry overseas? Either in a positive way, like, hey, this is really helping me, or in a negative way, like, ooh, maybe this hasn't been helping, or this maybe didn't help as much as I thought it would. Specifically in comparison to some of your non-GCK teammates.
One of the first things that comes to mind is just how you see the world as a TCK. I think personally, you just have more of a global perspective. Ideas that you've heard growing up, or even just the variety, diversity that you've been around. I would also say that there's more of a collectivism as well. Knowing that the U.S. is more an individualistic society, I just think, as far as I'm concerned, I'm always surprised by sometimes my colleagues. It's kind of like, okay, well, we're going on to the next thing. And I'm like, yeah, but what about those people that are with us? Or, you know, like, they're having trouble. Or it's like, I'm always waiting till the last person is okay. And I just think that's just a different perspective, because that's most of the rest of the world is very collective in how they live their life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's what I was thinking. I think what I, in my mind, I was thinking that I was very sympathetic to, as a TCK, more sympathetic than maybe others of my team workers are, that don't think so much in that collective aspect. I am often thinking, is everyone on my team okay? And I think other people just complete a task and can move on. And yet I'm trying to follow up on, oh, your mom was sick 3 months ago. How's your mom? Or, you know, there was some stressor in your life that you shared with me back in December. I need to follow up. And I don't think other people think that way. I think that's being a TCK does that.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've really come to appreciate being a TCK is just that I just really, really appreciate people's stories. Where I have really appreciated growing up when people have asked me my story, not just assumed, you know, what my story is. I've done a lot of processing with even just sharing my own story. So I guess I have a deep love of hearing people's stories and hearing what's really going on and digging deeper to understand maybe how or why people think the way they do. Where did that come from? Which I think that is a big part of my being in TCK. And just a love of culture and just a love of seeing how culture affects how we think and how we act and all of that. So just a desire to hear people's stories, which is not necessarily something I see a lot of in all of my other colleagues.
In what ways has your sending organization helped care for your health, specifically your spiritual health, while you were on the mission field? What are some ways that they have done that?
I think for me, sometimes it's the organization and sometimes it's the people within the organization. So it's hard to separate those two. But I would say that I've been encouraged to delve deeper into my own story, do counseling, look at some areas that where I should grow, have people like lean in like, hey, Megan, this seems to be a way that you're relating to others, or this seems like a hurt in your life or something like that. I just don't know that that many people would be that invested in my like personal growth if I guess I wasn't on the mission field. I'm not sure. And then I think also too, just taking times of rest, I've been encouraged to take a sabbatical and to walk away from my work and entrust it to someone else. And be like, Megan, you are not God. So now you're going to take a 3-month sabbatical. That was really hard for me. I was like, I don't know if I can trust this person to really take it all over. And so just doing some things that probably I wouldn't have been excited to do myself, but were really beneficial.
I think the hardest thing about growing up on a mission field was the lack of connection with biological relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. In my situation, the missionary family and the overseeing staff became like family. And so even now, as I continue to work with Wycliffe, there are many times that that older generation, even those in their 60s and 70s and 80s, I plug in with them and they speak a word of counsel or encouragement to me. And it's way more powerful than anything else because they feel like family. They feel like they've walked the road with me since I was born, even some of them. And I found actually my birth card that someone sent at my birth. I'm still in contact with them. So they sent a congratulations card to my mom at my birth. And I message them on Facebook on a regular basis. So that kind of connection, that is a missionary family and serving with me. And so those things are rare. And that's how I get my support, and my encouragement.
That's super cool. I couldn't agree with both of you guys more. That's awesome. What the missionaries on my field have started doing is we've started doing more intentional accountability and discipleship among the staff, because I think a lot of times the focus is on the people that we're serving, but I think we've come to realize the importance of also discipling each other as a staff. And just starting a few months ago, one of my older coworkers has begun meeting with me, and we've been just talking about a lot of things, how my walk with Jesus is going. I mean, how is my soul? What do I need to change? Like, what rhythms do I need to put into place to be healthy on the mission field, especially? But I mean, just in life, we can all benefit from the healthy rhythms. So that's been a big thing. The mission field in general has just done a lot to challenge my faith and to help me grow. it's just done a lot to challenge my faith. It's been very humbling. God has just showed me really cool things on the mission field. That's not very specific, but it's been very humbling and been very challenging to my faith.
Final question. How have you guys seen God confirm in your life that this is where he wants you to be right now?
Well, I think what we are seeing is unique in our ministry is we are seeing dreams that my parents had laid before God, even as in the 80s, are now just coming to pass. For example, I remember designing a school, a seminary structure, a building with a dormitory and a kitchen, and praying that someday pastors would come and enter a pastor's training program in our indigenous language. And we are just starting a small one, actually this coming September. And we have prayed about that since 1989, and it has just come together this summer. So that is one way God has confirmed to me that he heard those prayers and the cries of my heart and my parents' heart back even in the 80s, and they're just now, I'm seeing them come full circle. It's extraordinary.
We have a similar thing on the ranch. We've been building this building to be a training center for missionaries. For the past 10 years, we've been building this building. We've been just little by little. When I went as an intern 7 years ago, this building was barely done, but like every time they would tell us that this is what it was for, and I thought it was never going to get done, to be honest. And finally, after 10 years and lots of prayers and just some really cool God working, it is finally going to be done this fall. We're actually welcoming our first class of students in February of this upcoming year. So that'll be a whole new adventure that I don't think any of us really know exactly what's going to happen. But that was another huge answer to prayer as well, similar.
Yeah, I think sometimes we won't even know what God has been up to in the background until we're in heaven, and then we'll be able to connect all the dots. Yes. But I guess now I can connect a couple dots, even just experiences that I had as a child. I'm like, wow, this is really helping me out in this situation that I lived through that or experienced that or went to school with all these kids from all over the world because I went to an international school, or, you know, I grew up in Europe, so it was really common for people to speak a lot of languages. So now I speak 3 languages, and that helps me with my work that I do today. Just some things that when you're growing up, you don't even realize how God is preparing you for something bigger.
That is so true. I agree with that. Especially before I went down to Mexico, I feel like they were just so many like little things that I did after college. I was just like, what in the world? What's happening? I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I went to be a program intern at this camp in Michigan. Like, I wanted to work with horses. And I was like, God, like, why? But you're so right, Megan, that sometimes it takes years and sometimes it takes a long time before you can kind of put some of those pieces in place. One of the keys for me to kind of knowing what maybe God had for me next was I talked to a lot of people. I don't know how you guys came to your decisions to join missions, but I know that I talked to a lot of people. It was confirmed for me by several friends and family and people who knew me well, was I think one way that God used to speak to me and to confirm that that was where I was supposed to be, at least for this season.
It's funny, when I told my mom that I was thinking about becoming a full-time missionary, she cried. And I was really surprised. I was like, why are you crying? Are these happy tears or sad tears? And I think it was a mixture of both. You know, my parents are missionaries and I've done other careers. You know, I've dabbled in other things. And my mom was crying. She's like, are you sure you're not doing this for us? And I'm like, oh, yes, I'm sure. I'm not becoming a missionary because my parents are a missionary. Nope, that ship has sailed. No, I'm not doing it for you guys. I really do think that God is calling me to this. And she's like, you know, it's a call to suffer. And I was like, yeah, I know, Mom. I've seen it as a child. I've seen the hardships, I've seen the pain, but I've also seen just the beauty in it as well. And then she was like, so yeah, there's tears of sadness because I know there will be hard times. And then there are tears of joy because it is the best thing you'll ever do.
One thing I've been thinking about a lot recently is that when my mom was in her last weeks of brain cancer, she was still working on a project. She was working on putting edits on a hymnal. And I remember she had the hymnal in her lap when she would have a brain seizure and the hymnal fell on the floor and I was picking it up. And I didn't know in those days that my role would transfer from just a very minor role into the director and the coordinator of the entire program. And I was so thankful because they never put any pressure on me that I was expected to take the baton. It really was a call, an assurance that God gave me. And I'm glad it didn't come from them. Megan, it's wonderful that your parents allowed you or, you know, never pressured you and just celebrated all the other things you tried. Because I do think that if I had the weight that, oh, okay, when we pass away, you're expected to continue and take over. I think if I'd always carried that weight, I wouldn't be nearly as free in my joy, my daily joy to serve. Is really just an anointing that I feel rather than any kind of obligation that was hidden from the time I was young. I'm so thankful that was never there.
That's awesome. That's great. Thank you guys all for sharing and for coming on. And I hope that you, the listener, and you guys, the panelists, enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. If you, the listener, and or you, the panelists, if you haven't subscribed yet, are inclined, please give us a review and subscribe to our podcast. It's a really great way to tell people about the podcast without actually talking to people is by subscribing and then leaving a review. The thing with the algorithms and it recommends it to other people. So if you don't want to talk to people, then by all means do that. If you do want to talk to people, tell them about the podcast. Like, word of mouth marketing is fantastic. If you do want to stay connected to us, we do have both a blog and an Instagram, links to which can be found if you just search TCKVOF, you'll find it. You can also ask a question, or if you have a topic idea you'd like to discuss in the future, you can message us on Instagram or click the message button on the Anchor app specifically to leave us a voice message. Thank you again for listening to TCKVOF, where our conversations about TCKs and faith come together. I hope you have a great rest of your week.